We're starting a new series over the next few weeks. If you've got a Bible, I hope you have. I'm going to need you to turn to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon in the New Testament, just before Hebrews. It's one page. One page. The book of Philemon says this: Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is God's word to us this morning. Let me pray briefly. Our Father in heaven, give grace to us that we would listen and understand your word. Give us the peace that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Peter one day asked the Lord Jesus, "How many times do I need to forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? We know that feeling, don't we? Someone's wronged us, bullied us, ripped us off, taken us for a ride. Lord, how many times do I need to forgive that person? If you're anything like me, you're struggling with 1 time. 7 times? The Lord Jesus is so much more generous than I am. And he effectively says to Peter, there's no limit. Forgive. Forgive. And then he goes on to say to Peter, let me tell you what life is like as one of my people. Let me tell you a parable, Peter. Think about forgiveness like this. there was a king, and one of his subjects owed him 10 million quid. And the man could not pay it back, and he begs for time to repay his debt, and eventually the king just says, do you know what? It's cancelled. That's what God's like with forgiveness. The same man who had 10 million quid cancelled was owed 100 quid by someone else. And he hounded that man for 100 quid. He wanted the book thrown at him. Justice to be served. Demanding. That's much more what I'm like. My spirit is not quick to forgive. And actually, the Lord Jesus ends the parable by saying, if that's how we are, then actually we've not understood God. If we are not quick to forgive and be generous and think well of others, we've not understood God. And actually it calls into question if you've been forgiven by God yourself, if you've really understood what God's talking about and God's done towards you. Forgiveness. It's one of the defining marks of Christians and Christianity. Forgiveness. We sing about it and pray about it and talk about it every week. The Lord Jesus came to forgive us. As people came to him in faith, he frequently said to them, your sins are forgiven. On the night before he was crucified, at the Last Supper, he takes the cup and they pass it round and he says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. As he's being nailed to the cross, the Lord Jesus prays for those who are executing him, and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. As Peter stands up to preach on the day of Pentecost, about 6 weeks after the resurrection, he speaks to the crowd, and they're like, Peter, what are we to do with this, with Jesus, and what are we to think about this? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. The Lord Jesus teaches his disciples through the Gospels again and again, those who have been forgiven are to be those who forgive others. He teaches his disciples to pray, Father, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Now, I know that situation that you're thinking about that's come to mind, or that person that you can't forgive quite, you know, it's holding on to something. It's a difficult situation. It brings you to tears, maybe. Are we quick to forgive as we've been forgiven ourselves? If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be forgiven forgivers. Forgiven forgivers. Now we come to the letter of Philemon this morning and over these next few weeks, and I love that the Lord Jesus knows what we're like, and he's given us just a really short letter in the New Testament that speaks all about this idea of forgiveness and forgiving each other, and he knows it's hard. Verse 1, it's a letter written by Paul. He's a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ. We think he's in Rome in prison at this point. This Paul, who'd been involved in the murder of other Christians, now he's a prisoner for Christ Jesus. He's been forgiven of some pretty big sins. He writes to his dear friend and fellow worker, Philemon, the end of verse 1. Now, at the end of verse 2, we're told a little bit about Philemon, something interesting, and to the church that meets in your home. The church met wherever Philemon was, in his house. That must have been a pretty big house. If you can try and imagine all of us trying to squeeze into someone's living room this morning. Where was Philemon? It seems that he's at a place called Colossae. You know the book of Colossians in the New Testament? If you look at the end of chapter 4, lots of the names that come up in this letter appear there. People like Epaphras and Mark and Aristarchus and Onesimus, it all comes up. So it seems that the church that was at Colossae met in Philemon's home. We don't know much else about Philemon, but it says in verse 19 that he owes Paul his very self. What does that mean? It looks like Philemon had come to faith through Paul's preaching. There's a closeness between Paul and Philemon. They're brothers, they're fellow workers. And Paul writes with a big request. He's asking Philemon to welcome back one of his runaway slaves, a guy called Onesimus. Look at verse 17. If you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Onesimus, for whatever reason, had been a slave in Philemon's house, and he'd done a runner. While on the run, Onesimus somehow had encountered Christians, or he'd heard someone speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he became a Christian. And somewhere on the run, he bumped into Paul. Onesimus had been forgiven of his sins. And part of the change that had happened in Onesimus' life as he spoke to Paul was, Onesimus, I think it's time you went back. Would Philemon, as a fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, would he welcome the slave? Would he forgive him? Would he have him back? Would he kill him? Would he punch his legs? You don't know. Will Philemon forgive Onesimus? Now let me press pause just for a moment. Okay? Let me press pause for a moment. Because I know that the issue of slavery is a big deal. Okay? It's wrong. In the Roman world, there were massive amounts of slaves. Someone once calculated maybe a third of the population of the Roman Empire were slaves. There were tons of them. It wasn't a race thing. It was much more of a conquered people thing. Our army, you want to fight against Rome. If you lose, you're going to be enslaved. That's generally what happens. That doesn't make it right. Now, you might think, why doesn't Paul say, Philemon, free your slaves? Well, I don't think it's because Paul is a great lover of slavery. I don't think it's that at all. But I also don't think Paul was trying to start a violent political uprising where he's going to try and overthrow the system and the state. I think Paul is sowing seeds that will eventually lead to the system being crashed. Here, Philemon and Onesimus, they're to look at each other differently. Their relationship is not primarily master and slave. Their relationship is about, they're now united as brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're family. And what a witness to the power of how the Lord Jesus changes people. For Onesimus to go back and put himself under the authority of Philemon. And for Philemon to treat Onesimus well and not as something as low down as a bit of dog poo on his shoe. Now, I want to be sensitive on this. Slavery is a big issue in our society, and if you want to talk about it, grab me afterwards. I'd be happy to do that. But back in Philemon, at its heart, this letter is all about, is Philemon going to welcome Onesimus home with love? How does Paul try and convince Philemon that it's worth forgiving Onesimus? Look at verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. Paul calls Philemon to forgive for the sake of love. Christians are to act for love's sake. And one of the big things that this letter does is shows us the love of the Lord Jesus. You see, once we get our heads around this, we'll discover love is to be the driving force in our relationships with one another. Not revenge, not claiming our rights, even though we could. Not bitterness, even when we've been wronged. It's love. What is the love of the Lord Jesus like? It's not just some kind of airy fairy general acceptance and let's just get on well together because really we're all the same, and it's not romance. It's love that the Lord Jesus defines the terms of, sets the basis of. Now, a friend of mine puts it a bit like this. Imagine you went to a local dog's home to buy a dog. What are you looking for? Something that appeals? I don't know. I don't know what you look for. I've never bought a dog. A nice shiny coat? You know, a good demeanor? Something that looks good? I don't know. Maybe even something you feel sorry for. Now imagine when you go to the dog's home, you see the ugliest, barkiest, angriest dog. When you put out your hand and the dog runs up to it bites off two of your fingers. All right, and the guy at the dog's, or the woman at the dog's home says, you know, this dog has actually killed and eaten its last four owners. Okay? That's probably not the dog that you're going to choose. But that's the love of God that he has for us. When he sent the Lord Jesus to forgive us, he didn't pick us because we get nice shiny coats or a glint in our eye or we lick the fingers of the Lord Jesus. I don't know what that means, but you know, the love of Jesus for us caused him, moved him to go to the cross and die for us when we were the sort of dogs who would kill and eat him. He overcame our hatred with love. He was at work for our good. He was punished that we would be forgiven. The sacrifice was on his part. The thinking of others. All of that was the love that the Lord Jesus shows towards us. And we receive the benefits of that love. Forgiveness by God. A relationship with God. Eternal life forever. A local church family. Thousands of other things besides. That's the kind of love that Paul is talking about. That's the kind of love that he appeals on the basis of, that Philemon would forgive Onesimus. Did you notice in verse 8, he's not forcing Philemon to obey. I'm an apostle, Philemon. I could make you obey. I've got that sort of authority. No. He says, I appeal to you on the basis of love. Philemon is being asked to forgive and love harder than I think than it ever has before. Paul's saying to Philemon, I want you to act like the Lord Jesus. Everything in Philemon should say, this is too much, I can't do it. Onesimus deserves to be punished. And we need that kind of love in us to overcome our instinct to hate, to not forgive, to hold on and be bitter towards others. If you're not a Christian this morning, I want to tell you that this love from God is available to you. This love is waiting. Perhaps you've never experienced the love like I've talked about. Perhaps you want to be able to forgive, but you can't or you won't. But the love of God changes what we're like. It overcomes that instinct we have to hate. If you want to experience that love this morning, it happens as we call upon the Lord Jesus to forgive us. The one who, when he walked towards our cage, we barked and wanted to bite his hand off. And yet he's so gentle with us. And he died in our place. And he's raised to give us eternal life. Call on him today. Ask that he would forgive and show you that love. Because he loves to do it. This letter will show us the love of Jesus. Second thing is this. This letter shows us, it shows us the love of Jesus that we are supposed to show one another. You see, picture the scene. Try to imagine it. It's Sunday. You're going to church at Philemon's house. They were allowed to sing. They didn't have face masks on in those days. They're having coffee after church. and there's a knock at Philemon's front door. One of the servants goes and looks at the door, and it's a man called Tychicus, and oh, on SMS. What's he doing here? And they walk in, and the whole church is there. And Philemon is standing. Maybe he's been leading the service. Maybe he's been preaching. And there's an SMS shaking like a leaf, like, I've got a letter. I've got a letter. The whole church is watching. How's Philemon going to react? And he says, everyone gather around and listen up. We've got to listen to this letter together. This is what Paul's written to me today. And I want to say that even though this is a private personal letter to Philemon, it was supposed to be read with the local church looking over his shoulder. I'll show you. Look at verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see next to the you, there's a little letter A, a little footnote. And the footnote says the Greek is plural. As we say in Glasgow, it should read grace and peace to yous. Who are the yous? The local church. Everyone else who's part of that church at Colossae. And everyone's supposed to read and learn from what's going on between Philemon and Onesimus. As a local church family, we're supposed to act with generosity and kindness and forgiveness to one another. Being quick to forgive. Being charitable. Now, as ever, we have to remember some of the other things we're told in the New Testament. Being quick to forgive doesn't give us a license just to keep on hurting people or just, you know, annoying people or being angry at others. And certainly if something criminal has happened, it means that there's no cover up. Doesn't mean we're not going to report it to the police. We all have rough edges. We need to be patient with each other. And if I've got a habit of making you angry, you need to come to me and say, Dougie, you know, you've got to do something about that. But as a local church, we're going to put the love of the Lord Jesus on display to our world. And part of that is that we're going to be quick to forgive one another. Wouldn't it be great if people looked at a local church like this one, you know, our neighbors who live in the community and thought, wow, they're quick to forgive each other. Why are they so quick to forgive? Well, because they've been forgiven much. I think it's one of the reasons why, as Christians, we've got to be in community. We've got to be part of a local church. There's no lone rangers. Because if you're just sitting in your own thinking, well, I can be a Christian at home on my own, who are you going to forgive? I can think of a community group not far from here where a number of people have been offended down the years. And most people just take the hump and they leave. They never come back. But a local church is different. Not only should we not be looking to upset one another, but when it happens, we're quick to say sorry, we're quick to say I forgive you. I want you to be honest just for a moment. Is there someone here this morning or part of our church family who really gets on your nerves? Maybe you really don't like them. Maybe it goes so far as to say, I hate that person. I hope not. Maybe it's a good chance it's me. I appeal to you on the basis of love. Welcome them and forgive them. Wouldn't it be great if there's someone that has upset you over the past weeks or months, and after, when we're outside, we're having coffee, and you say, I'm really sorry. And you respond with, that's forgiven. Last thing is this. Philemon shows us how to know the love of Jesus better. Let me show you what I mean. couple of years ago,
steady.
A couple of years ago, I watched as someone changed the filter on one of the church hoovers. No big deal. I know lots of people are thinking, easy peasy. Not for me, okay? But I watched and I tried to learn. And this week, I tried to put into practice that skill. It's not as easy as it looked, okay? Especially when suddenly you're enveloped in a cloud of dust and you've made a huge big mess and the blooming thing won't go back in the hoover. Look at verse 6. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Now that's a tricky little verse, but let me try and explain what it's saying. It's saying that actually we'll know the love of Jesus more and better as we put into practice that kind of love and forgiveness that he's shown us. It's one thing to watch someone else change the filter in a hoover, but you learn how to do it better when you've actually got to get your hands dirty doing it yourself. We can talk about forgiveness. We can talk about the love of Jesus. But how will we know it more and better and deeper as we actually do it? As we do to others what the Lord Jesus has shown to us. We don't come to church just for our little personal experience with God. We don't even come just for our little group of friends. The love of Jesus pushes us to show his love and forgiveness to everyone in the church family. Even those I don't know well. Even those I don't or might not naturally get on with. How often should I forgive someone when they sin against me? 7 times? How often does the Lord Jesus forgive us? Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, so often we are not quick to forgive. That we don't welcome people who have maybe wronged us. We think the worst of them. We may even speak badly of them to others. Please forgive us. Give us forgiving hearts. Help us to think the best of people. Be generous and charitable towards them. Help us to love them and show the love that you've shown us again and again and again. Help us to forgive time without number. Because that's how generous you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.